You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of October. Oh no, the Jazz can't defend. How concerned should we be? Maybe a little. We'll talk about it coming up. Plus, postcast on Locked On Jazz. That's right, we're throwing Ron Boone into today's show. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan. All right, you're all going to the water cooler today and wondering whether or not the Jazz defense is bad. You are wondering, are we bad defensively? So let's talk about it. There are some reasons for concern, no doubt. And then we're going to look at what happened last night. We're then going to look at the statistical relevance of it. And then Ron Boone is going to join us for what is our regular show, Postcast, which if you're new to Locked On Jazz, which according to our numbers, there are a lot of people, I thought I'd throw it in here. It regularly will air as a separate podcast inside of this same feed for you throughout the season. Empty the Noggin will be back once the regular season is upon us, by the way, if you're wondering. But no need to do Empty the Noggin for preseason games. At least that's my opinion. So the Jazz last night lost to the Kings, 128-115. Their defensive rating was a 118.1. For most of the game, when the game was relevant, they were allowing 1.5 points per possession. 1.1 was the league average last year on full possession count. The Kings are tough on the Jazz for two reasons. One, they play super fast. Last night's game had 108 possessions in it. And the Jazz, frankly, are not very good in transition defense and might not be very good this year in transition defense. Last year, the Jazz ranked 28th in the NBA defensively in transition. This was not a strength of the Jazz. Defensively, they were second best after a make, fourth best after a miss, 11th best after a turnover. But if people got out in transition, when they did, the Jazz were 28th. They were number one in the league in half-court defense. So last night's a bit disconcerting because that same issue seems to be there. The other one is that the Jazz have always struggled when they play a team who has a stretch five. And in a stretch five, what you have is someone who pulls Rudy Gobert off the floor and stretches him out. Marvin Bagley did it on the first plays of the game. And so to that sense, the Kings are a tough matchup for the Jazz. And it showed last night. But the Jazz were bad defensively. They showed no resistance. They let them get into anything they wanted. They looked a lot like the New Orleans Pelicans did against us the night before. Here are I think there are some areas of concern. One is the transition aspect is big. Last night, the Kings averaged 1.4 points every time they got in transition. And they got in transition about 17% of the time. It's a lot. Last year, the Jazz allowed transition 13% of the time. So they did a bad job of keeping the Kings out of transition. Then when the Kings were in transition, they crushed it. In the half court last night, the Jazz defense was only okay. It wasn't great. It was actually below average, but it wasn't atrocious. The Jazz offense in the half court was actually pretty good last night. What the Jazz were not good at last night was defensive rebounding. The Jazz defensive rebounding rate last night was just in the 30th percentile overall. Last year, they were one of the best rebounding teams in the league. So the issues to worry about, I think, are transition and rebounding. Transition is dedication and commitment. And we've got veteran guys that probably are not totally jacked up to play preseason. So, you know, Mike Conley's in his 12th year. Bojan is in his 7th. And Rudy's now suddenly in his 7th. And Joe Ingles is in his 6th. And Jeff Green, I guess Rudy's in it. Yeah. and Jeff Green's in his 12th and Ed Davis is in his 10th. Like, so either they're all old and slow or they don't really put the focus into the preseason. Okay. Like, I think that's somewhat legit, but we'll dig into the numbers here in a few minutes to see whether or not there should be anything else we should worry about. But the rebounding's real. We don't have good rebounders on this roster. We have Rudy, and we do not have another good rebounder. And so rebounding's going to have to be a collective effort, with, and then the same effort of trying to get out and run, you're going to have to rebound. What I want to know is shot distribution. And that, to me, I thought the Jazz still did a pretty good job. They only allowed Sacramento 25% of shots at the rim. They allowed Sacramento to take 35% of their shots as threes, which is league average. We'd like to keep that down a little bit from that. That, to me, says that the structure of the defense is still right. We have a few more corner threes than maybe we regularly would. So there were a few more threes than we allowed than we probably would have liked, but we restricted them from getting the rim. So now it just has to do with a little bit of an intensity. That, to me, says, okay, the structure of the defense is right. We're not getting back in defense. There's just not a lot of intensity. And it's a preseason game, so that seems fine. Had that number been whacked out, I'd be significantly concerned. Because that, to me, is the structure of the whole defense, is the Jazz having good shot distribution. The Jazz offensive shot distribution last night was unbelievable. 41% of their shots at the rim, 39% of their shots is threes. That's 80% of your shots being smart shots. That's the ultimate goal. The Jazz just didn't happen to make threes. Particularly corner threes last night were particularly poor, which is unusual. Non-corner threes. Jazz were 3 of 23 on above-the-break threes last night. Okay? Like, that's just not going to happen. The Jazz got 33 shots at the rim. The Kings got 22. That's going to win you a lot of games. Both teams took about the same amount of threes. The Jazz just didn't make theirs. So you, for the kind of the big picture structure of things, I'm concerned about transition defense. I'm concerned about rebounding. But the overall structure of the half-court defense and what you're allowing is good. The reason they probably shot a few more threes is because their big guys shoot threes, and that's hard for us to deal with, right? So Bagley launches four threes. Dedmon launches four threes. Bielitsa, we should be able to guard. He launches three threes. But those are hard ones for us to handle. Rashawn Holmes just rolls to the basket. And had this been a regular season game where everyone stayed with it, I wonder whether some of the foul trouble might have caused the Kings some problems. But overall, the defense, it's just no question, it was bad. And so that's, right? And now who on our roster is above average defensively? Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert. Mike Conley's always been thought of that, and I think he probably is, but he's also 30-something years old. So I have a hard time believing that. I mean, I think his guile is there, but he's 32 years old. Donovan was pretty good defensively last night. Donovan was just generally pretty good. He had 22, he battled, and he was greatly minus 20. So that kind of makes you look at all that as being a little funky. The Jazz defense ranks 29th out of 30 through preseason, having played the Adelaide 36ers. Is that a concern? Maybe. Explain in a second. Murdoch Hyundai is the sponsor of today's program. The Palisade is exciting people all across the country, and we have it in Linden as well as at the 4646 South State Street store. We drive the Santa Fe, and the Santa Fe we got is actually a little bit like the Palisade, the new Palisade, because we got an 8-seater, and we got all the safety bells and whistles on it. It's a pretty fabulously gorgeous car, 3.8-liter V6 cylinder engine, so it's got a little bump to it. Ton of different models. You can get it totally loaded up. You can get it at an incredibly reasonable price, however you want it. Then there's the Kona, which is the fun, zippy SUV. That's the small one, similar to the Subaru, Crosstrek or whatever it's called. And that Kona comes in. There's one on the site right now, a 2020 for $20,000. Pretty incredible. Sunset orange. kind of smooth color there. Then you go up to the next size, which is the Tucson. They've ramped that baby up and made it look fabulous. And then there's the Santa Fe. That's the SUV lineup over at Murdoch Hyundai. If you're looking for a car for the upcoming winter, stop by and experience what Murdoch has to offer. 0% APR for 72 months right now for qualified buyers. That's 0% APR for 72 months. Stop by, say hi to Jason. Tell him congratulations to Ellie and all of her amazing mountain biking his daughter is doing right now. You can check that out. Tell him, he'll tell you all about it. Tell him congratulations. Or say hi to Blake if he's there at 4646 South State Street. Blake's also down at the Linden store a lot, and they're also up in Logan. It is Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street in Logan and in Linden. If you're going to stop by, email me, let me know. We'll give you a heads up that you're coming. You can reach me at dlock09@gmail.com. So the Jazz are terrible defensively in the preseason. Who cares? Well, maybe we should care a little. So I ran a very basic statistical look to see if there's any correlation between preseason defense and regular season performance. The last year of the top eight preseason defenses, six of the eight were in the top 10 by the time the season ended, three in the top five. The Celtics were 18th, the Heat were 19th. Those were the only teams that got less good noticeably. In 17-18, of the top eight teams, four of them were in the top 10 defensively, and three of them were in the top five. It's a little bit of a correlation. All of them were average or above, except for the Spurs that dropped to 20th. So of the eight teams last year, say it again, six of the eight were in the top 10. Four of the eight were in the top five. And two of them were 18 and 19. The year before, four of the top eight were in the top 10. Three of the top eight were in the top five. So of the seven of the 10 top 10 spots in the last 2 years were filled by teams that were also in that range in the preseason. All right, guess what? That I think would say there's a little bit of a correlation and probably should make us a little nervous. We were that team. More importantly is if you're bad defensively, and let's make sure we understand two really important points here. One is that if you really believe this, then last year the New Zealand Breakers would have been one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. And the year before, the Melbourne United would have been, right? So they were in the top five defensively in preseason. Love a sample size of one or two. The sample sizes are insanely small here. What happens if you're terrible defensively? Well, if you're terrible defensively, so I took the bottom eight. I took the bottom seven. I meant to do the same thing and do the bottom eight, and I didn't. So I apologize. I missed one there. And you fiddle through all of the teams. I've now done it and fixed it. And you have to get through the Shanghai Sharks and all of the other teams that are in there that aren't really NBA teams. Again, the sample size is a little ridiculous. But let's look at it. So last year, if you were in the bottom eight of teams defensively, of the bottom eight, the five worst all ended up in the bottom 10 defensively in the regular season. The five worst defenses last year in the preseason all ended up in the bottom 10 defensively. Okay, that's not great. Then the next one, the Grizzlies were 9th, the Blazers were 16th, and the Pistons were 12th, so then the correlation really died. How about the year prior? The Knicks were the worst defensive team. Then the next three teams weren't that bad, then the next four were. So five of the bottom eight were actually in the bottom 10 defensively, actually in the bottom eight defensively. So in both of the last 2 years, of the eight worst preseason defenses, the teams that were in the bottom eight defensively in the preseason, five of the eight ended up in the bottom eight of defensive teams for the regular season. It's a little unnerving, right? We'll take five out of eight three-point shooters. We'll take five out of eight. It's a little unnerving. There does seem to be some statistical correlation between a good or bad preseason defense and your regular season performance. There has only been one team each of the last 2 years who was terrible defensively in the preseason and got into the top 10 defensively in the regular season. The Grizzlies last year and the Pistons the year before. Ninth and 10th. Now, before we go and hit the entire panic button, let's realize this. The sample size is ridiculously small. The Jazz have played four games. And if the Jazz have a good defensive game on game five, it's 20% of their sample size and their defense suddenly gets way better. Okay? Few other little interesting notes here about preseason versus regular season. Last year in the preseason, the average pace of play was about 104 possessions a game. And in the regular season was about 100. So a preseason game seems to be about 5 percentage. The rank is about 5 percentage points percentage faster. The year before, the league average was 107 to 108. And the regular season was 97. So in that case, it was 10% faster. Okay, well, we're not great in transition. That tells you a little bit of like everyone's letting everyone run. Like that's just where that's the sign that preseason's not quite the same. So, you know, when you're playing 5 to 10% faster, that's a considerable difference than what it was. But let's not deny what we just saw there. There seems to be some correlation. And there does seem to be some correlation offensively too, frankly. Last year, the best offensive teams in the preseason were the Bucks, the Rockets, the Jazz, the Mavericks, the Blazers, then the Wizards and the 76ers, and then the Gaozu Long Lions. So again, sample size seems ridiculous, and then the Clippers. The Bucks turned out to be one of the best offensive teams. The Rockets did as well. The Jazz were middle of the pack. The Mavericks were not. The Trailblazers were one of the best defensive teams. The Wizards were not. The 76ers and the Clippers kind of came out. You know, so there's a, you know, the Rockets were the number two offensive team in the league last year. The Blazers were the number three. The Bucks were the number four. The 76ers were the number eight. The Clippers were the number nine. Okay, so of the eight top offensive teams last year, five of them were in the top 10. The Jazz were 14th. The Mavericks slid all the way down to 20th by the end of the year last year. And the Wizards, with their injuries, finished at 15th. So there seems to be a little bit of a correlation there, just if you want. The positive side of it is that the Jazz offense right now is great. The Jazz have the fifth best offense in the preseason. Philadelphia is like head and shoulders better than everyone else, then the Pelicans. Then the Rockets, the Brooklyn Nets, the Wizards, and the Jazz are all in the same group. The Jazz defense has been bad. It's 29th in the league in preseason performance. That's legit. The teams that have been worse are the Spurs, the Melbourne United, the Buenos Aires San Lorenzos, the Haifa, Maccabi Haifa, the 36ers, the Shanghai Sharks, and the Long Lions again. So the Spurs, that should be alarming. Quinn's going to have their attention today. There's no question on that. Where do you put it on a scale of panic? Well, I'll ask that to Ron Boone coming up for you in a second. The offense, by the way, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. I kind of left this out. I thought I'd focus totally on the defense. The offense has got some interesting things going on because the Jazz have their own version of the death lineup. The death lineup for the Jazz is real. And that is Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert. I think played about 15 possessions last night and scored on 12 of them. It's pretty good. They scored on 11 of 14 possessions. They scored 21 points in 14 possessions. Now, they didn't get a lot of stops. And there's a bunch of reasons why you may or may not start that lineup, and we'll talk about them on tomorrow's program. All right, postcast is coming up for you. We want to, for those of you who don't know, Ron Boone and I, after every game, and we'll most often do it live. We don't have our, they've redone our entire broadcast site this year because TV is joining us up on the porch. And so we don't have our hardline internet, and the two times we've done tried to go live from up there recently, it's kind of, the audio hasn't been as good. So last night we just recorded it regularly, and I thought it would just be cool to put it into the regular programming of Locked On Jazz for you and let you see that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Stealth Media, Eric Ellis, StealthMediaTV.com, by the way, if you want to give him a call. They do DirecTV and AT&T. So if you're looking to make the switch and you want to combine the two and then you get all your streaming for free off DirecTV, it's pretty awesome. Plus, I love the 72-hour rewind you get on if you forgot to DVR something. My wife could have used that when she didn't get the fourth quarter of the Seahawks game the other day. Combine your AT&T and your DirecTV, get the best coverage, save money, take another go. Here's the really cool thing Eric has done over at Stealth Media, StealthMediaTV.com, is he has gone and, with his connections, got a bunch of Man Cave TVs that are better priced than Best Buy or anywhere else for you, and made it so that your home setup can be just amazing. So you make the switch to DirecTV, they take care of all the installation for you, and they get you on AT&T, and he's got these amazing Man Cave TVs. Give Eric a call, 385-399-4186, 385-399-4186. Make sure you tell him you're with Locked On Jazz. You'll get a $100 gift card, and check out a little bit more at StealthMediaTV.com. That's StealthMediaTV.com, And you can mention to him that Grayson Allen started last night for Memphis. So his little favorite player, Grayson Allen, I don't know if it's really true that's his favorite player. He's just very upset that we traded Grayson Allen when I saw him the other day. And he started the other night for Memphis. Grayson Allen, he might turn out to be a player. No pressure. Relax a little bit. Who knows? Hope so. Rooting for him. He's got a little point guard to play with him, too, according to all the highlights that are out there. All right, here is Ron Boone with Postcast. Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz get blown out by the Sacramento Kings 128-115 in their fourth preseason game, and the defense was not good. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 600 South and 20th East. Also, their new location at 900 South and First West, the little mini store, and the Gateway Store, the city store, with all sorts of great lunch options as well for you, all at The Store. And I need The Store Gateway to have some dark chocolate, sea salt, caramel candies, not just the milk chocolate ones, because I'm all out, and so I'm a little, it's a problem. All right. Speaking of problems, Ron, the Jazz allow 128 points. They have not been particularly good in defensively this preseason. No one's really worried about it a great deal, but it just happened again. Where is, on a scale of no, not at all, it's the preseason, versus oh dear God, what has happened, being 10, where are you?
Defensively, I'm probably about a 5 right now with the Jazz. This team does not defend the pick and roll very good, at least against the Sacramento Kings. They're not defending that very good. You saw the guards for the Sacramento Kings got into the paint, and they were able to, you know, find open shooters. I mean, that's something that the Jazz are going to have to correct.
So the Kings are hard for the Jazz because Marvin Bagley opens the night hitting threes. Rudy's trying to guard him. They had Rudy open up on Bagley. They had Jeff Green open up on Dedmon. They started Jeff Green tonight. Dedmon can shoot the threes. So all of a sudden, this is a team that really is a tough matchup for the Jazz because, one, they play fast. The Jazz transition defense wasn't very good last year. And, two, they pull everyone out on the floor and open up driving lanes where Rudy's pulled out to deal with the three. This is kind of what Karl-Anthony Towns in Minnesota has done to the Jazz
as well.
Yeah, the adjustments that the Jazz are going to have to make is going to be against this team anyway. It's going to have to be at that five spot. I mean, they're going to have to figure out a way to defend that three, but also protect the paint. Some kind of rotation, some kind of gimmick defense, just to make them get out of that comfort zone. Because that five man shooting the 3-point shot is going to be a problem. Well, Jazz like to have Rudy in the paint, and they can't afford to do that with playing against the Kings.
Luckily, there aren't that many of those teams. Marc Gasol is now in Toronto, so Memphis no longer has one. Karl-Anthony Towns in Minnesota has always been a tough matchup. Dallas will be interesting to see what they do, because that's Kristaps Porzingis, and suddenly they fall into that category.
Jokic
hasn't ever shot the three well against the Jazz. It's a slower release.
Still a threat.
Yep.
Still a threat.
So there are some teams like that. It's something the Jazz are going to have to answer. How much of this is also a team that's got veterans, they know who they are? Why are we busting our butt defensively in the preseason?
Well, I don't buy that. I think they were trying. You know, you can't just limp into the regular season and think you can turn it on and turn it off. I think they were trying. They got beat. I mean, the Sacramento Kings ran by them. They shot the three very, very well. Bagley got off to such a great start in that first quarter with 9 points, 12 points at the half. He knocked down a three, and then Dedmon comes in, and he does about the same thing. So that's where they started. But the guard line, just think about the guard line, how the Jazz had problems defending the guard line last season, and especially with on-ball defending.
The two new guys did not have a great game. Bojan Bogdanović had 3 of 10, 2 of 8. Mike Conley, 2 of 8, missed some shots at the rim. And an interesting one about Bogdanović I think is worth watching. 20% of his possessions last year came in transition. He didn't get those transition opportunities tonight. That's a huge part of his game. You take away a fifth of his game, you know, that's how he gets stuff. He did not look comfortable in the half court tonight.
Well, and he did not look that way, but I get the feeling that David, during the course of the year, the way the Jazz play, then that won't necessarily be the case with this team. I mean, he'll want those, and he'll probably get some of those transition type plays. But just watching him in practice and how quickly he sets up and how he seems to be open all the time, I think it's probably going to be a little different this time.
One interesting note tonight, the Jazz did play with Bogdanović, Joe Ingles together with Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert. That's a lineup that we've all kind of thought about since the minute the Jazz made all these moves and wondered what it would be like for them and how dominant it would be offensively. Well, tonight the Jazz had 14 possessions in which they played Conley, Mitchell, Bogdanović, Ingles, and Gobert, probably their best. They scored on 11 of the 14. They scored 21 points in those 14 possessions. Now, they may have allowed the exact same amount in that time period, but that offensive lineup does seem to be pretty close to unguarded.
And it's a little bit different with Joe Ingles in the lineup. I mean, he knows this system very, very well. Green, his played well. I mean, what he's going to give you is going to be very valuable. But I think Joe Ingles knows what this system, and I think that's the benefit.
Joe Ingles tonight, 12 points, 8 assists tonight, also 4 rebounds. Joe coming off the bench, what are you seeing there?
I like guys like Joe can come off the bench and make an impact, and I think I say that quite a bit. But if he's going to come off the bench and give the Jazz, settle the Jazz down, or pick things up, because, again, he's been in this system, you know, for quite some time. He knows exactly what Quinn wants. He knows how to play with Rudy. He knows how to play with Donovan. And just wonder, though, if that's going to be him coming off the bench all season long.
Manuel Mudiay, 16 minutes tonight. First time we've seen him. 8 points, 2 rebounds, no assists. What were your thoughts?
Well, he's an offensive player. Want to see how good of an on-ball defender he is. I didn't see much of that. We'll just have to wait and see if what kind of minutes he's going to demand, or if he's going to be able to play some solid minutes backing up Conley at that one position.
Jazz lose at 128-115. One more preseason game on Wednesday against Portland, then we'll get started a week after that. Jazz mini packs are available at utahjazz.com. You can go grab those at utahjazz.com. Also, single game tickets are available as well. This has been Postcast. Thanks for tuning in.
We bring you Postcast every game, so make sure you go grab it. The Northwest Division is the preview on Locked On NBA today. So make sure you go grab that, the Locked On NBA divisional previews. We wrap up the Western Conference today. We'll head to the East tomorrow. So go to Locked On NBA and grab that. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.